Good morning. Time now for the Tuesday Talk Show here on KAJO Radio. Thank you very much for joining us this morning. We ask that you hold your questions or comments until after the top of the hour news. But if you want to jot the phone number down now, it's 541-472-1270. And when you hear the sound of the radio coming back to your phone, that means that you're next in queue. And as soon as we complete the thought that we're all, we'll put you on there live and let you hear your question or comment to our guest today. From city staff, of course, headed by City Manager Aaron Kubik and Finance Director J.C. Arelli, welcome to the microphones of KAJO Radio, gentlemen. Glad to have you with us this morning.
Good morning.
Morning.
All right.
We're excited to be here, too.
All right.
Or do we need to say good morning again?
No, you're fine. I lost J.C. Caesar, talk to me.
Good morning. Thanks for having us.
All right.
Talk to me. Talk to me.
Really, I've got every button pushed that I can. At any rate, once again, welcome. First of all, let me see. We just got the mayor and our contingent sent back to Washington, D.C.
Yes.
Got a nice reply from Senators Merkley and Wyden sent out a letter to FEMA asking that BRIC grant to be reapproved, or do we have any further progress on that?
No, that was a lot of progress just in itself. I think the time and effort spent making those connections this year definitely provided some fruit, and I think it provides merit for us to have discussions on doing it again in the future, making sure that we are at the state and national level representing Grants Pass and our community to the best we can.
Right. Any idea when we'll hear for sure on that, or is it just going to fade away, or we'll either hear or we won't?
It's going to be any of those options. Chuck, it could be any of those.
Okay. Well,
there is no timeline on it, really. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're talking about the federal government, and we're talking about a program that they're considering, you know, reengaging. So there just is no timeline that I can even say.
All right. Well, we'll cross our fingers and keep looking for the money. Speaking of money, why'd you bring him along for?
Well, of course, JC's here
speaking
today because
Riley.
we just accomplished a wonderful thing, and we got our budget approved. And that was over a three-night period with the budget committee. And we want to talk a little bit about that, the success of the budget committee, what the budget represents. And so the listeners have a general idea of the importance of a budget, because it truly is, the budget is truly, if you took a look at our budget, if you took a look at our budget message, it tells a story. It tells a story of what our plans are, what our aspirations are, and how we're actually accomplishing those goals. It provides an opportunity where the budget committee and city council adopts a formalized process to where it provides allocation of resources and the ability for us to achieve those goals. So wanted to highlight some of that, wanted to just go over the budget process in general, talk a little bit about that, because there's a great opportunity for people to volunteer to be part of this process through the budget process. We have a budget committee that consists of 16 people. Eight of those are city council members, and the other eight are at-large citizens, residents of Grants Pass. And they sit down and they go over the proposed budget according to the budget officer and city staff. And the way that really works is, from our perspective, we do, I think, a great job within the city, and I've mentioned this before. We have a healthy strategic planning process, a comprehensive strategic planning process that starts this whole thing. We have an annual budget every year. Some cities do it every 2 years. We do it every year. And we base the development of our budget off of council's goals. Council defines the goals in January of each year, and we adopt those goals. Staff then takes a look at the goals that council has identified, and we develop what's called a work plan. And that work plan provides additional details on how we're going to accomplish the goals that council has set forth. And that work plan then provides opportunities for us to determine, is it a monetary resource that's required to make this happen? Is it staffing? Is it level of service? Is it partnerships within the community? And we've defined that all in the work plan. Once that work plan's defined, we now have a very clear picture in our head of where the resources need to go. And that's where we come in from a staff perspective. And with JC being the finance director taking a real big lead on this, we develop a proposed budget for ultimately the budget committee to consider. The good thing about this is everything that's proposed in the budget is something council understands or knows or has provided policy direction on, because we're following exactly what council wants us to do. We're providing the resources for them to make it happen. The budget committee is there as a public body that provides an opportunity for public comment. That's one of the biggest opportunities with a budget committee, is you're reviewing and you're approving an allocation of resources and making sure the resources that are being allocated are in alignment with city council's goals. The other big important part of the budget committee is it provides an opportunity for public comment. The public can come and comment on the allocation of resources and ultimately the direction where we're going. We ultimately approve the budget, and then it goes to council where they adopt the budget in June. And from a parameter perspective, and I talked briefly about that, there are a number of things. One of the biggest parameters is the strategic plan and the work plan. We're following that. But there are other parameters that we consider when it comes to numbers and our budget. And there's, you know, a big budget number, which is, I think, around, JC might correct me, $297 million is what we adopted. But then there's also an operating budget. And maybe JC can talk a little bit about that too. And then we've got the general fund that people are really concerned with and how we're doing. And there's a number of things that changed this year through council policy direction that impacted the general fund and impacted some of the additional budget parameters that guide what we put together for council. So one of the biggest directions and budget parameters when we're putting this together is, how do we put this thing together? Almost $300 million. How do we put these numbers together and make sure they're in alignment? One is the strategic plan. We have other things that help guide us in putting this document together, which I'll pause so I can have a drink and wet my whistle, and I'll let JC sort of talk about other parameters that it goes into actually the formation of the budget.
He's talking about water, ladies and gentlemen. Just the way that sounded. Just before we get to JC, Aaron, you said the budget tells a story. Can you give me a brief synopsis? Can you give me a minute, 2 minutes of that synopsis? What is that story that budget tells?
Yeah, the budget tells us that we are a city that has been conservative over the years, that has a strong financial policies, and respects a efficient and effective form of government. And we have a city council that listens to their constituents and tries to make solid policy recommendations and changes that are frugal in nature, that provide an opportunity for us to grow when appropriate and increase those level of services when needed. And that the other part of that is that it is truly focused on building community, whether it's horizontal infrastructure in the ground or it's developing a new park. We have in the budget quality of life issues that help make this community great.
All right. That's the story briefly. All right, JC, can you fill it? Now you get to do the heavy lifting.
Now I get to do the heavy lifting and hopefully not put everybody to sleep, right?
Well, that's the idea here.
No,
make it exciting.
Aaron's right. So this year was a little bit different. We've had financial policies approved by council way back from November of 2011. And we've never, as a city, gone back through and done a revision of those, nor have we actually had council reapprove or readopt that those were the financial policies. So we've spent the last 2 years refining and or revising and coming up with brand new financial policies. Not that we threw the old baby out with the bathwater, so to speak, but I think we did a real big rewrite as far as bringing it up to date and modern as to what the expectation is for our city to provide services and what we should be looking at. And we have 11 sections, 4 of them are new, addressing things we didn't previously addressed. Like, we didn't address expenditures, which is actual purchasing policies and practices. And what we wanted to make this document was a clear consolidation of what community members can expect as far as how financially the city should be run and how we should be preparing things like the budget to coincide with how we move forward with the services that the community requires. And so we got that adopted on April 15th of 2026. The biggest part that is new, I would say, of the budget policies or financial policies, which is part of the budget parameters, was the actual fund balance policies. Previously, we only had a couple key areas called out, which was the general fund and our enterprise funds, which would be your water, wastewater, and stormwater. And we've actually added all of our operating areas and given a transparent requirement of the amount of money that we should be holding in reserves, because reserves are a good thing for a government to have in the case of the emergency and or in the event that certain potential disasters may happen. But we shouldn't be holding an exorbitant amount of money just to hold it. We should have a purpose as to holding it. And this document was hopefully redefining what those purposes are.
What is the reserve right now in terms of a percentage?
So it varies from operating areas. So the general fund, we have a 25% reserve policy of expenditures. In your enterprise funds, we have 25%. In some of our other smaller internal service funds, so internal services are departments that provide services back internally to departments like human resources, finance, management, and information technology, we hold a lot less money because they actually charge on a monthly basis back to those departments. So we don't need to hold large reserves in those operating areas, which is about 12.5%, which equates to about 45 days of if something were to go wrong.
Generally, at the end of a budget cycle, how much of the reserve is left? How often do we dip into those reserves?
It's a really good question. I think as a policy board setting direction, as well as Aaron setting the table for the organization, we've really done well at, through time and history, managing those expectations and managing those budgets. And I know there's this misconception out there, because if government has a budget, they're just going to spend it. And that's purely not the case for us. A lot of times we return dollars or don't just spend it just because we can. There's been a real healthy return back, especially in the general fund, of we potentially historically give back about 6-7%, which in savings back to those general fund departments, which are police, fire, parks and recreation, and planning.
You mean at the end of the budget cycle, there is money left over? Is that what I just heard? That they can give money back?
Yes, but there's also a clear definition of what we do with those monies. So they start us off next year to help offset some of those increases to certain cost of living adjustments and things that we're seeing. They can also be used for extra contributions to capital projects, other things. So I wouldn't say it's just left over just to be left over. There are certain things that we try and make sure to put those dollars back into the best avenue for the community.
Now, I'm going to go a different direction here for you, so forgive me on this, but I know for a fact that in the past, and that's a distant past, quite frankly, at the end of a budget year, if you're in a particular section, say, golly, we haven't spent all our budget money, let's go out and buy new desks or chairs or flowers or plants or something for the office here. Does that sort of thing still happen, or we got a handle on something like that? And I know that has happened here in Josephine County.
I wouldn't say we practice
Many years ago, quite frankly.
I wouldn't say we practice that just as a wholesale, but I think we practice it in a very strategic manner. And so buying a new desk at the end of the year is probably buying a new desk for us that we haven't bought in 25 years, and it's literally falling apart. And we have potentially those savings, those resources to do something good with it, where we've never had the money to put it in the budget to begin with. And so we're utilizing those savings to put it back smartly into something that could be of value in some manner of speaking in the future.
All right. I just had to throw that out and say that we're over that sort of thing.
Hey, I have to answer that question to my friends almost on the daily. So.
Oh, really? Okay. I'm not too far off.
You're not far off at all.
All right. So let me see. Where did we leave off when I interrupted you there?
No, you're good. So Aaron was talking, $297 million is the total budget. A large portion of that is going to be the water treatment plant. I think that's slated to spend about $53-ish million this year, which is part of the difference between last year's about $240 million. The general fund is about $55-ish million in total. Of that $55 million, you're looking about $40 million is between police and fire services. So the majority of the general fund dollars really go back to police and fire, which I don't know if Aaron wants to get into, as well as partially because we just added 12 new people that were approved by council as one of our budget parameters, which we think will cost approximately about $1.8 million over the course of the next year.
Yeah, six new police officers and six new firemen is the plan.
I think it's five police officers and a CSO and then six firefighters.
Ah, okay.
But yes, correct. Six and six.
Mm-hmm. All right. So we're looking at that to increase it. Aaron, have those all been hired yet?
So we have all the firefighters have been hired and are online. They have gone through their academy and they're actively in the stations. The police officers, it's hard to say are all six, are all five, and the CSO hired, because as we are hiring, we also have some that are leaving, et cetera, but we actively have openings and are recruiting for those. So yeah, I think we're sort of online from both police and fire from filling those positions.
All right. Well, we're close.
Yes.
We're close anyway.
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, we always have transition in all departments. And so, whether it be fire, police, parks, public works or whatever. So yeah.
All right. Now, did I understand you say about $50 million going to the water treatment plant this year?
That is correct. We are underway in construction, and so we estimate probably around $53 million, and I believe it's a $3 million project or 3-year project, and so it's going to take a little while to get that fully constructed.
So that $50 million spread out over 3 years, is that what I just heard, or is
no,
that this
year?
No, it's
a little bit more than that. I don't have the exact number in front of me, but just for this budget year, which makes up part of that $297, the large majority is about $53 million.
About $53 million.
Yeah. We're really our budget is pretty hold the line on expenditures, except for two things really that came through this year. One is what JC mentioned, the increase because of the water treatment plant, and the other was the increase in the 12 FTE. Besides that, all the departments were pretty hold the line on expenditures, and we were only trying to address anything that we knew of that was coming up from a standpoint of cost inflation, projecting gas expenses, projecting insurance increases, etc. But from a service level perspective, all departments did a great job of keeping status quo.
Yeah, if you can figure out how to project those gas prices, let me know. At any rate, you're listening to the Tuesday Talk Show, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back after this important message.
Ah, spring and...
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Tuesday Talk Show in progress. City staff in today from City Manager Aaron Kubik and Finance Director J.C. Raleigh. And once again, welcome, gentlemen. We were talking budget, ladies and gentlemen. Big question. It's balanced. It has to be balanced, right?
That is correct. That's our responsibility. We have to provide a balanced budget to the city council. It would be a disaster if something like that didn't happen. I've actually heard of it one or two times where that's sort of happened, but it's our job as stewards of that and as budget officers to provide a balanced budget to city council. And we've done a lot. We do that, and it's relatively easy for us to do because we have good policy direction in advance of the budget. Like JC was saying, from a financial reserve standpoint to a level of service standpoint, in advance of the budget this year, we got clear direction on what policy should be there, and we just allocate the resources accordingly.
Well, now I'm under the impression that Kratz passes budget process for years, even prior to JC's arrival, and continued after that, has won awards yearly. Am I correct in that?
Yeah, so we have a presentation award that we get to file with a national agency, and I believe this will be our 41st or 43rd straight year that the City of Grants Pass has gotten a presentation award, and it's more geared towards actual staff and what the budget document actually shows, which is a clear presentation of the decisions made by council and the inputs that get from city staff to the dollars and the services to which we provide the community.
All right. Well, that being said, once again, congratulations. Pat yourselves on the back. And we've got a balanced budget. Pat yourselves on the back. Now, how do you deal with the rising costs like gasoline? Does that go back to the reserves we talked about?
It does go back to the reserves. It does go back to, you know, it's a good faith effort that we try and make on all the things that we put into the budget. Sometimes, though, we miss. We don't foresee certain things happening, whether it's at a local, state, a federal, or even a worldwide level. That things that can affect certain things like gas prices, but we do our best, and then hopefully the reserves that we do keep can not have an impact to either the departments or back to the community in which the fees in which we may need to charge for those.
Do you spend a lot of time looking ahead and projecting some of those things? A war in Iraq, of course, we're not certainly not able to project, I would expect, but do you rely on other sources?
No, we try and project every budget out at least another year. Some budgets, like the general fund, we take longer looks to see how some of our expenditures may play out over time. People are our most expensive thing, so we need to keep an eye on that. But there's only so many tools to get it right, and if I got it right all the time, I probably wouldn't be sitting here. I'd be doing something else.
You'd be on top of the mountain. We'd be crawling up to you.
Probably something like that. No, but it's one of those things we try and do our best to come as close as we can. I think if you look at just projecting things like property taxes, we've been, even before my time, within 3% of projecting those revenues, which really helps set the table to come up with a fair estimate of what our service level we can provide. And when we're talking about property taxes, those go all to police and fire. And so you're really helping keep the boots on the ground for those kinds of services.
When you're working numbers like that and you look back on it, you've got a finished document right now that's going to present to City Council. Is there an area that can you point to and say, I'm very proud of this particular area? What pleases you most?
Never. So the kind of joke is once we get it all finalized, we tend to find something that we missed. And that's just because information is always changing. And it's hard, again, like we said, to project something. If all the variables held constant, we'd be able to do a better job. But the information is constantly changing. The landscape, the community response, because every once in a while we'll find that something that we missed or something that needs to be done for the benefit of the community, whether it's in public works or in our park system, something that we may not have foreseen.
One of the things we've talked about from a staff perspective is that we're proud of is the dynamic of staff and the budget committee and how we work through the process this year. Extremely respectful, great lines of questions, focused on roles and responsibilities. And it got us through a really nice, clean budget process. A great sign of leadership and professionalism on everyone's part.
Yeah, and I liken the budget document, the budget process, to defining a roadmap for a family vacation. I'm old enough to where we actually had the old paper maps that you would get out and kind of draw your map.
I've used them, yes.
Yeah.
and I can fold one.
You know, that is the plan in which we're trying to get from point A to point B. But sometimes we don't necessarily follow the exact route that we had mapped out throughout
detours.
The year. That is correct.
All right. So Aaron has his story that the budget tells, and you say it's a roadmap, and we're following that roadmap. Okay, let me see. Just one quick question here before we get to the news, and I'm not sure it's going to be quick. What with the advent of the $50 million going to the water treatment plant and the addition of 12 new FTEs and fire and police, other areas have been pretty thin, hold their budget pretty. Is there an area that we've had to reduce? Anybody getting the short stick this year because of that?
Well, I don't know if anyone's really been picked on and got the short stick.
I
think we've done some great things to provide additional progress with the reserve funds, with setting up an IT reserve fund that we haven't had in the past and other things like that. So I think we're structurally stronger. However, we are not without future challenges. We still operate public safety and rely on a levy, a temporary levy, to fund permanent level of service. That in itself is a challenge. I think we're in our third year of that, and that's something that will need to be discussed. Costs are still, expenses are still climbing higher than our revenues when it comes specifically, for sure, general fund resources. That is going to be something that we're going to continue to have future discussions on. And so we, because we have a great budget process, we have good financial policies, and great leadership from a council perspective, have been able to ride this out. But we still see, as JC was mentioning, with general fund, we try to project out a couple of years to see where it's at. We still see challenges ahead of us.
All right. There are challenges, ladies and gentlemen, and you're welcome to challenge too when I come back. You're listening to the Tuesday Talk Show right here on KAJO.
When you hire...
Welcome back. Tuesday Talk Show in progress, ladies and gentlemen. Phone lines are open. If you have a question or comment to our guest, if you want to know where my money's going, you can give us a call at 541-472-1270. When you hear the sound of the radio coming back to your phone, that means that you're next in queue. And as soon as we complete the thought that we're on, we'll put you on the air live and let you have your question or comment to our guest. Our guest today from a City of Grants Pass, City Manager Aaron Kubik, Finance Director J.C. Raleigh, both in studio right now. We've been talking about the budget, which the Budget Committee has completed their work. We have a budget all prepared for the City Council to approve in June, and everything is balanced and ready. What do I really, JC, what do I need to know about the budget we haven't talked about so far? What do the people out there really need to know about the work that you do and what we haven't covered so far?
Gosh, have we pretty much covered all of it? I think the biggest thing is that staff is very diligent about putting this together. I just want to reiterate that we do it for the best service to provide the community for the dollars that we are allocated. We're very grateful, and I know Aaron's talked about the public safety levy. We're in our third year of a five-year public safety levy, and in a couple of years we're gonna need to ask the community to at least renew or ask council to talk about potentially increasing that to continue to provide the service that we have as far as police and fire.
All right. You want to put a footnote on that, Aaron?
Yeah, no, JC's correct. That is probably going to be something that we'll be bringing forward to council in this upcoming fiscal year, because we want to be prepared. When we're looking at either a renewal or a change in a levy or bringing something new, it's like almost a two-year process. And so we're in year three of a five-year levy, so we need to start having those discussions. And those discussions are important because we need to try to come up with some kind of sustainable resources to provide the level of services that our community is used to and would like to have. We do that currently right now. All property taxes go to public safety, so that's police and fire support services. Above and beyond that, property taxes are not quite enough to fund public safety. So we have the levy at $1.79. And then also we have on our utility services bill, we have a fee for public safety also. So those are the three mechanisms we utilize to fund that. And public safety is an important aspect. JC mentioned personnel is one of our personnel is our best resource, but it's also one of our more expensive resources
most,
when it comes to our budget.
Costly, yes.
Yeah. And with, you know, half of our FTE almost coming from public safety of the 250 so that we have, that's the largest cost, and it's all general fund. It doesn't come from water, doesn't come from sewer, it comes from general fund. So trying to get a good grasp on how we can find some sustainable resources to match the level of service is going to be a key piece for us moving forward. And it's not only just a level of service for our 40,000 residents. We are the hub of Josephine County. People influx into Grants Pass from Jackson County, from Josephine County, even a few from Douglas County for employment or for recreation. And so we have to have a level of service that can accommodate that influx in population. So it's not just a 40,000 population that we're serving. It's much larger. And that all goes into the level of service and what we need to provide to keep everyone safe and have this be a great place. So that is definitely going to be one of our future challenges. As we mentioned, we we recognize that going out in the future that the general fund dollars are getting tighter and tighter every year. There's less funds that we have available in general fund to go to our lands and building projects or our special capital projects or things for a new park recreation facilities and equipment. So it is getting a little tighter.
Other revenue streams that you might be able to exploit or land.
Exploit? Yeah. What?
Well, exploit might not be the right word.
Well, you know, JC and I have we've had the privilege of being able to present to a couple of associations, I think League of Oregon Cities and the Mayor's Association, on just that topic. We've talked to these groups about the different opportunities from a revenue stream to help with general fund dollars. There's about seven pretty much or so that are out there, and that's it. There's not a lot of options for us to look at, and we are already implementing a few of those. So we've got our property taxes. We've got a temporary levy, but for a permanent level of service. You want to try to have something that matches you. If you want to have more of a permanent level service with a permanent funding source, you got to look at the nexus of your funding streams. And does it make sense? Is there some kind of nexus to the service that, and where the revenues are coming from? And then, of course, we've got the utility fee, which is another funding opportunity. But there's some interesting, more unique ways to receive revenues from a payroll tax and other things that JC and I have presented on in the past. We could go into some more details with those, but they usually are not very popular and they take a long time to get something to where that might be palatable for a community.
No, I just want to add too, as Aaron's talking about all these options and things that we do or currently have, just to relate it back to statistics and numbers. So our police and fire costs about $40 million a year. Of that $40 million, our permanent property tax rate only makes up about $17 million. And the funding for the public safety levy only makes up about $8 million. So of the $40 million it takes to run police and fire, we're talking $24 million only comes from property taxes. So we need another $16 million to come from other avenues to pay for the service that we currently provide. Now, luckily, council instituted the public utility fee, which that gives us about $4 million. But as you can see, there's still other monies that are required to potentially run those
services. A lot of monies required after that, yes.
And those monies are then now competing with planning, community development, parks and rec, and because they utilize those same dollars also.
All right. Are the monies coming in earmarked for specific areas, or do you have some inflexibility in moving things around?
Well, the general fund is really in those resources from general fund, which primarily come from property taxes and franchise fees. Those are the two biggest general fund dollar amounts coming in, are very mobile. They're fluid. They can go anywhere, and they're technically not earmarked for a certain thing. Although we have said for decades that all of your property taxes go to fund public safety. And so the amount of our property taxes coming in does go to fund public safety.
All right. That being said, that's a big hole to fill.
Yeah. We've been working on it, right, the last 4 years
yeah,
since
we have been.
Here.
Yeah.
Every day.
And before that, I know that the City Council of Grants Pass in previous years has raised the levy and or tried mm-hmm. to raise the levy, and it's either passed or failed. And I think we've been on the current levy for quite a while now. I think it's over a decade.
Yep, we have at $1.79.
Where other entities around us maybe are talking about increasing their levies to get some extra revenue to come up with the dollars they need to provide the service that they are required to provide right now.
All right. Aaron, you mentioned earlier there are some challenges that we need to face. We've talked about public safety. Other challenges on down the road here. Could you look in your crystal ball, or do we need to worry about those right now, or wait till tomorrow?
There's other challenges. One of the things that is a challenge, and we're trying to look at ways to address it, is we're looking into a municipal court. We're seeing that that could be a useful tool for us. Now, so because we are the county seat and we are here, we have a wonderful police force. But some other challenges we have is making sure that we have great partnerships with our other entities, with the Sheriff's Department. We've got the criminal justice system. We've got to make sure the criminal justice system is balanced, and that's why we're also looking into the municipal court perspective. We need to make sure we have appropriate prosecution, appropriate opportunities to house individuals that need to be housed in a jail, appropriate enforcement levels of enforcement for on the street. And so making sure that that system is healthy is important, because if one piece is out of balance, the whole thing is out of balance. And so looking at emergency management services, we need to partner and make sure we're great partners with the county and with other with Josephine County and with other our other surrounding counties to make sure we're prepared from an emergency management perspective. And so that's another key piece. From a development perspective, one of the things that I think we need to have a challenge on is this is the first year in a number of years where we've had only 20-some single-family dwelling permits really put through. It's been extremely slow from a residential perspective. Actually, I think it was probably double that. It was like 50. Most of the permits coming in are for multifamily, which is okay. We're getting a lot of new housing development, but it's shifting, which is interesting. So what does that tell us in the future? We're getting a lot more multifamily, less single family coming in. And what does that look like for our community and quality of life and livability things? Trying to track and make sure from a perspective what's happening at the state and federal level. Some things we don't have control over. Usually regulations don't lessen, they tighten and they get more restrictive. Where we used to be able to maybe measure for 1,000 parts per million, you know, or whatever, it's doubled or tripled, and now that's going to be an increased cost. From treatment of water or wastewater or whatever it is. So watching those regulations and legislatively trying to get out in front and make sure we tell our story. And council's done a great job of that this year. We have some lobbyists that have been helping us. The mayor and Jason Kennedy, our public works director, of course, went to D.C. We've been very active at the state level, trying to make sure we're telling our story of Grants Pass in Southern Oregon and how it's a little bit different than the rest of Oregon, and how some of those legislative changes and things that they're wanting to do may not best represent our interests and what we need here. So those are all some large challenges that I see coming forward with us.
Just those few?
Yeah.
Yeah, just
that's
those
a couple.
Few. That's a couple. All right. We'll take a deep breath to digest that, ladies and gentlemen. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is
Tuesday Talk Show, ladies and gentlemen. City staff in. We're talking budget, and we've been talking about some of the challenges. And sometimes it kind of paints a grim picture, but some of those challenges are pretty fun, are they not? Or on a positive note, why don't we outline some of those?
No, challenges are positive. Just like I think conflict can be positive. It develops an environment for creative thinking, and so challenges are not always there's not a negative connotation. We've got some wonderful challenges coming forward. Our North Star project, our Washington Midland Urban Renewal Agency project, there's some challenges there. There's some challenges on what that's going to look like in the future. What's the best activity and application of public resources to incentivize private investment in that location, and what that looks like. It's wonderful to see our planning committee coming together, our community outreach coming together to help provide input on the future and what that will be. Other challenges we have is we've got a lot of development that's happening in the downtown area. Look at the plaza. That's not been without challenges, the downtown plaza. We've had a number of things that we've done. I can say that we're very pleased that we're still looking at, before Memorial Weekend, having all those streets opened up again. We still have the plaza parking lot that we'll have to deal with, but that should be done before the end of June. So we're looking really at being still on target to get that done. And then a challenge would be, once that's in place and it's a beautiful plaza, how do we regulate that? And how is that use applied? And so we have a discussion about future policy when it comes to the parking lot that we're going to be discussing with council. We now are going to have a new infrastructure, sort of like a band shell. And how and when can people rent this? Are we going to provide an opportunity for that plaza to be rented every weekend throughout the whole year? Or is it going to be a certain amount of time or certain amount of months per year, et cetera, days per year? So there's a number of things that are happening that's great. But the band shell, we got the pool and the discussion with the pool and what that looks like. But they're all challenges that ultimately have a positive impact on the community.
All right. We've been pretty busy today. There are a couple of areas that once I get you here, I've always got to ask. First of all, we did go back to mentioning the municipal court. Would a municipal court be self-sustaining once it's up and running, and how much would it take to get to it? And really, what kind of feasibility are we talking about?
So staff is looking at that right now. Those are all good questions. Can it be self-sustaining? It depends on what services the municipal court provides and what revenue, potential revenue streams you provide for the municipal court. So there's a lot of policy decisions and discussions at a council level that I'll have to determine that. We're finding that a municipal court just is not a municipal court, which is a municipal court. Someone may make a chocolate chip cookie. We all three may make a chocolate chip cookie, and no, it's a chocolate chip cookie, but they all look and taste different. So municipal courts also have that same look and feel. We are going to try to provide council with some information where they can provide us good policy direction on what they think is the best fit for our community. And maybe it's not a Cadillac municipal court. Maybe it's a, you know, whatever it may be. There's different levels, but we believe that council is going to want to look at the sustainability, the financial sustainability of court, and then also consider the benefits of the court and weigh that. And we need to just make sure that we give them that information so they can do so.
In those conversations that are going on right now about a municipal court, also they bring up the exclusion zone. Any comment on trying to get an exclusion zone, and if the police department is in favor of it, or what ramifications we'd be facing with that?
Yeah, the exclusion zone's been talked about a couple times at a workshop and or business meeting. Our police chief is in favor of that as a tool. I think council in general is in favor of that as a tool. I think council also sees that an exclusion zone may work even better with a municipal court system in place.
They go hand in hand.
Yeah, they go hand, and they do. They do go hand in hand. Definitely with a municipal court, an exclusion zone has a better impact and compliance. So council is going to be exploring both of those items, and I could see us making some kind of movement on those in the future.
On the future. All right, let's talk about the future that's close at hand here, and that's the development of Parker Place. I understand it's close to being on schedule to be open on time.
Yeah.
And once it is open, how are those camps going to be dismantled, and what's that structure?
All right, so when it comes to Parker Place, the goal was, and of course this was a $1.2 million grant that we provided Elk Island, and they are partnering with Mint to provide some services. And, of course, at the old Parker Place Furniture is where this is going. They're going to ultimately have a facility that provides for 150 spots for people to rest. They're doing it through a Connex box type of process, which is an interesting idea, and it seems to be going well. I've toured the construction and the modification of those, and I think that they look really great. They do look really cool. So
visually, we're beginning to really see things happening
over
there.
Oh, most definitely. So there's been a lot of ground movement over there at Parker Place. The way we see this is we see that it's going to be a phased approach. There'll be probably at least two phases that's going to occur. We're looking at the 1st of June, Parker Place opening with a phase one, and we'll be bringing in the ability for people to come and rest there. Now, depending on what that number may be, maybe 40, maybe something along those lines, we will then be able to start reducing the inventory and the space that we have at our current resting sites. So it could be that come June 1st, we can, when Parker Place is open, we may be able to slowly transition out one of the two sites on A Street. We have three sites currently right now. We have two sites on A Street, 6 and A, and then we have one on 7th Street. So we have three altogether. We'd be looking at phasing out the ones on 6 and A Street first. And so it could be that we phase out either the north 6 and A Street one or the one on 6 and A on the corner of 6 and A. And then when phase two happens, we will then start transitioning and the closure of the other resting sites as that goes on. The one thing we want to do is we want to make sure we do it right. We don't want to inundate anybody to where they're not successful, and we want to make sure we provide proper notice to everyone, those especially that are impacted by being unhoused, so it's very clear that they have a path and where to go.
All right, let me see if I can make sure that I'm summarizing this correctly.
Sure. Because I said a lot of words, you're right.
June 1, we expect Barker's Place to be open, but maybe not at a full 150 capacity.
That is correct.
So maybe 40 capacity. So then when we start phasing out those other resting sites, people are given the option to move. Are they given any assistance in moving? Are we just going to give them a deadline saying this is going to be closing by X date?
Yeah, when it comes to our sites, as long as we're required, we have what's defined as objectively reasonable because we went through the circuit court, and the circuit court, through a judge, told us what objectively reasonable is. We need to have 150 resting sites with ADA accessibility, and that's a positive. I mean, it went through a court system. There was a lawsuit against
now
us.
Now we know.
But we know, and we're one of the few cities in the state of Oregon that actually know what objectively reasonable is because the court defined that for us. So as soon as Parker Place is up with 150 resting sites, we technically have met our obligation and do not have to have our resting sites.
So if we open with 40, we could probably close one of the resting sites.
Likely, we'd be looking at closing down one of our resting sites. So as that inventory becomes available at Parker Place, we will be sending notices to those individuals currently housed at our resting sites, providing them like a week's notice saying, hey, coming this day, we will be closing the site down. And then they'll have the opportunity to go to the other site. And I would imagine with Mint's assistance, if there's any individuals with maybe ADA accommodations or something that needs assistance with the moves, there's a lot of volunteers out there that would likely help with that move. And then those that don't need the assistance can definitely get there, and we would then shut down those sites.
All right. It's going to be interesting to watch. And well, thank you very much. I'm down to about my last 4 minutes here, and I want to go back to JC. And JC, you want to recap what people should know about the successful budget that you put together right now?
No, I think it's pretty straightforward.
Can you tell me the whole thing in 2 minutes?
In 2 minutes?
Elevator speech.
Yeah. Doesn't that music go slower? No, so the $297 million is the total budget approved this year. The things that, at a high level, you see is the water treatment plant being under construction over the next couple of years, and a big portion of that budget makes about $53 million is those construction costs. And then adding 12 new FTE in the general fund, 6 in fire and 6 in police to help provide the response I think that the community is looking for those services. That would be my high level, the big high points of this year's budget.
All right. Thank you very much. We appreciate your work. And all right. Final 2 minutes, Aaron. You've been busy this morning outlining everything going on for us. Final 2 minutes. What do people really need to know about today's show, the budget and Parker's Place and everything here?
Well, the one thing, and I'll conclude again with this, is the whole – one of the reasons why I think it was important to talk about the budget is it is – for us to take home is it is a collaborative process. It required staff to bring forward something after council has provided us direction on what they'd like to have as our goals. And that third leg of that stool is council has identified their goals and provided staff with direction after listening to the public, being elected, and providing clear policy direction. So the public, even with the programs that we talked about, from the plaza to the water treatment plant to what we're talking about from a funding perspective and making sure that the public is out there understands our funding challenges and helps provide council with clear direction on what level of service we desire is important. So we are at our best when we hear from you. Please make sure to reach out to us at the city, to the city council at the city. You could do so through our city email. We have a mayor council email. I have an email. JC has an email. You can always call us at 450-6000. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, what are we doing well you want to see us do more of? What do you have, a complaint or a criticism? Please let us know. We're always wanting to be better.
I call that number regularly and always get a real person. That's very nice.
Yeah.
All right. Gentlemen, thank you very much. We appreciate your presence today. And all of you, we certainly appreciate your presence. And we ask that you stick around next Tuesday when we'll have county staff in studio in there. And remember that as of, I think, last night about 5 o'clock, the voter turnout was about 12%. So fill out those ballots. Get them in, ladies and gentlemen. And then listen to your vote count here on the 19th. You're listening to KAJO, Grants Pass, Oregon.
My name is Whitney.